Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And off we go. The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, are returning from his vacation. The show is whole. Once again, it's good to have you all. If you want to be a part of the show, well, good news. We afford you the opportunity in multiple platforms, as a matter of fact.
You know, it's amazing. If you're at least pretty good at your job, people are happy to see you when you come back. That's I mean, you know, there's that, you know.
Hey, we're keeping kayfabe alive out here, people.
By the way, I'm excellent at my job, but still. And now I'm doomed to make a bunch of mistakes, which I can blame on vacation.
Yeah. I mean, you get a couple of days of grace period. I'm good with that. The first few days after I got back from the wedding, oh, the head was spinning. I'm like, what's a basketball? It was tough. It was rough, but we got through it. All right. And the most important thing is that, you know, it's early in the morning. We got to get through it. You got to stay awake the whole show. When you do that, you're going to be just fine. All right. As long as you stay awake, you're good. We make it easy around here. All right. We got a lot we got to get to, a lot we got to talk about. We are talking about the College World Series and the absolute disaster it was. NBA Finals Game 7. Not a disaster just because of the Halliburton injury. Very disappointing for what we all hoped was going to be one of the more dramatic evenings of sports on the year.
You know, I saw Cole post, and I don't have the exact quote about
it. I do. He said, yeah, this is one of the most boring game sevens in the history of the NBA Finals, well, which, granted, we haven't had one since, what, like 2016?
I think he said finals, period. And it's okay.
It's on our Facebook page if you want to go quote
yeah,
him.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, okay, there's no big-time star. I mean, although the MVP, but still, I mean, he got it because they didn't want to give it to Joker again. I thought it was pretty good.
I actually agree with you.
Everyone cries for parity. Oh, it's just the same teams winning all the time. And then another team gets in there and wins it, and then they're complaining about that.
Yeah.
I think some people, and I'm not saying this is Cole, but there are some people that just want to complain no matter what.
Tell you what I think drives that narrative, and I'm glad you brought this up because I actually had it planned to respond to that. So I'll just give you a little tasty taste right here, and then we'll circle back around for the full discussion here in a little while. I think the reason that is because while you did have some superstars on the court last night, predominantly SGA and for 6.5 minutes, Tyrese Halliburton, neither of these teams are teams that require a 60-point effort from one guy to win. Neither of these teams is what a lot of NBA champions have been in years gone by. For the Cavs/Heat/Lakers to win titles, they need LeBron going off for 50 a night. Neither of these teams need that. These teams are teams that regularly have 10 players in double digits each. So the ball's spread out. More guys are scoring. You're getting more opportunities. But I think a lot of people, and I'm not saying this is Cole, but I'm not going to say it's not Cole. And to the point that I almost kind of want to call him and have him on the show to ask about it.
Do you want to see a team play, or are you just there for the superstars?
I think that's it. I think that's the takeaway. I think that we have, even those of us who have said we want parity in team basketball, I think we have gotten so, I'm almost going to say brainwashed, into believing that if there's not him, not them, him, if there's not him out there, then the game's boring. If there's not guys out there hitting consistent breakaway two-hand tomahawks from the free throw line, that it's boring. There was not a ton of dunks. There's no highlight dunks in this series with the exception of Pascal Siakam in game 6. Outside of that, there was no highlight dunks. Caruso almost had one last night, but he bricked it, right? Outside of that, no highlight dunks in this finals with like one or two exceptions. And I think a lot of people translate that to boring. And my response is, you're wrong. That wasn't boring. That was two great basketball teams, but there wasn't that one guy that they just, if this guy's not it, they can't win. SGA can score 20. And the Thunder can still beat anybody in the league. Tyrese Halliburton can score 10, and the Pacers can still win that game because they got 10 guys that scored double digits consistently. That's a good team, not one guy. What I don't want is a box score where I got a dude who scores 50, three guys who score 12, and then 10 guys who were on the floor with stat lines of 0-0-0-0-0-0. Two good teams. Two well-coached, good teams that execute offenses, and that tricks a lot of you into thinking it's bad because you have been brainwashed by a lot of basketball media to believe that either it's high-flying dunks and logo threes, or it's boring. If that series was boring to you, if that game was boring to you, it wasn't boring until fourth quarter when the Thunder finally said, okay, let's put this thing to bed and let's go win it, right? It wasn't boring until we got about 4 or 5 minutes into the fourth quarter. And because at one point the lead shrunk to like 12 and the Pacers had all the momo. And it's like, okay, if they can get this thing down to like 6 with 4 or 5 minutes to play, maybe the emotion can carry them there. But then, of course,
which they had done the entire series just about. I mean, a couple games they came back, and the very first game they came back a ton to win.
16 in that game?
And I think game two they came back, but they didn't win. I mean, got within, or actually maybe took the lead in the second game, but then OKC went ahead of them.
Yeah.
I think it was a very competitive series, and I'm not a fan of either team, but I was entertained.
I completely agree. Completely agree. We're going to talk more about that later on because I already had it on the rundown to react and respond to my, and for the record, Cole Bryson is me, Zoe, Cole, and I did find out there's one other show in the market that regularly talks NBA. The NBA appreciation is rare in this area, and Cole Bryson's one of the few I have it. Cole and I were texting during the game last night because I know that he was locked in, but that came after he put up the Facebook message that we're going to break down at length later in the show. But we do have to break down the three things that you're going to talk about when you get to the office this morning. We're going to break them all down when we do this. Too late. We already started, so let's keep going. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you will be discussing when you get to the office this morning. And take that first well-earned smoke or water or snacky snack break, whatever you do. Or maybe you got to the car and take a nap or something. I don't know. I don't judge. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to support. I'm a supporter. Whatever it is you do when you break, I know it involves talking sports. And if you're going to talk sports, you got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on, I'm about to tell you. Let's get to item numero uno. 103-91, the Oklahoma City knock off the Indiana Pacers in Game 7 of the NBA Finals last night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the league's regular season MVP. He is the league's finals MVP. He is the league's season scoring champion as well. He is the fourth player in the history of the NBA to accomplish winning all of those in one season. Michael Jordan did it 4 times. Shaq did it once. Kareem did it once. And now SGA has done it. Win the scoring title, the regular season MVP, and the finals MVP all in 1 year. Last night, SGA went for 29. He also pitched in a dozen dimes and 5 boards. Jalen Williams had 20 on 7 of 20 from the floor, including 2 of 7 from deep. 4 boards, 4 assists in the contest. You got 18 out of Holmgren. Finally, Chet reemerged from his hibernation, which was a huge boon to the Thunder last night. 10 off the bench for both Alex Caruso and Kayson Wallace. Nobody off the bench scored, actually. Only 20 points off the bench. And what ultimately turned out to be a low-scoring contest. I kind of felt like the under was going to be the play in this game. And it was. How much of that, however, was because of the loss of Tyrese Haliburton? The Pacers superstar exited the game about 6.5 minutes after its tip-off with what, at the time, I think we all knew, that's an Achilles injury, because unfortunately we have gotten very good at recognizing Achilles injuries. There have been so many of them in the sports landscape in the last couple of years. Halliburton went down to the floor, started slapping the floor in obvious pain, ultimately had to be assisted off of the floor by team trainers and medical professionals. He went back to the locker room and would not be seen again until after the game was over, when he made his way out into the hallway on crutches and in a walking boot to sympathize with his teammates as they made their way back to the locker room. When Halliburton went down, the Pacers played very emotionally, pretty impressive basketball, to be honest with you. They were able to actually win the first half. They were up by a deuce at the half. They were up by one at the half, came out in the third, and at that point, it was all OKC. Oklahoma City won the third quarter by 14 points to take a 13-point lead. It did grow for a while there. I think it got closer to 18 before the Pacers chipped it back down to 12. Everybody was doing their best to try to hype it up at that point. Uh-oh, here come the Pacers. And they did have some Momo at that spot, but momentum is runs. It's a game of runs is basketball, and the Pacers just ran out of gas. Oklahoma City would basically do just enough in the fourth quarter to sink the dagger and end the game. At that point, it was just, let's play net zero ball. Let the clock run out. That's exactly what happened. The Thunder win the 2025-26 NBA Finals. We will talk more about that later in the show, but we got to get to item and numero dos. The National Basketball Association, not the only championship handed out this weekend. I really thought we were going to have a three-game set in the College World Series. Alas, it was not to be. The LSU Tigers, the Bayou Bengals, knocked off the Coastal Carolina Beach Chickens 5-3 to sweep the Chanticleers out of the College Baseball World Series Finals. LSU knocked Coastal Carolina's ace Jacob Morrison out of the game with a four-run fourth inning en route to their 5-3 victory. The Tigers finished the season at 53-15. Chanticleers finish at 56-13. They carried a 26-game win streak into the College World Series Finals. They had the momentum until they didn't. Game one on Saturday, absolute pitcher's duel. 1-0 LSU victory. It was one of the best pitching and defensive performances I have seen in a baseball game in a very long time. A lot of people got turned off by that. You are wrong for getting turned off by that. It was phenomenal baseball. Then we got to game two. Kind of felt like we were in the same direction. Coastal Carolina struck first with a dong, made it 1-0. LSU answered the bell, tied the game, went up 3. Ultimately would go up 5-1. Coastal would get a 2-run jack a little later in the game to bring it within 2, but they could not find the plate again. The problem with the game was that there was a lot of controversy in it. Ejected was the head coach of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, Kevin Schnall. Had not been ejected this season until the first inning of the elimination game. Was arguing balls and strikes from the dugout. Was given a warning by the umpire for doing so. Came out of the dugout. Kevin Schnall said it was because he did not understand what he was being warned for. Came out of the dugout to clarify, but the warning was to not come out of the dugout. He was shooed off the field twice by the home plate umpire. Ultimately ejected from the game. The first base coach was also ejected as he had some commentary for the umpires walking back. As Schnall was arguing with the umpiring crew on the sideline, the first base umpire who came over to try to get between Kevin Schnall and the home plate umpire, I'm going to call it as I see it, tripped and fell. He didn't get pushed. He didn't get bumped. He tripped and fell. But he claimed that Kevin Schnall bumped him, gave him the two-game suspension, which means that had Coastal Carolina survived and forced a decisive game three, Kevin Schnall would not have been allowed to be in the dugout for that game. An absolute disgrace that unfortunately marred what was otherwise a spectacular, spectacular postseason in college baseball. I am going to rant, yell, and maybe mildly cuss more about this later on in the show. We'll see when we get there. But we do have to get to item number 3. Two different results yesterday. As ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all officially to peak radio offseason. The NBA is done. College baseball is done. That means between here and the middle of June, we have golf, NASCAR, baseball to get us through.
I watched Slippery Steps this morning.
And ESPN The Ocho.
Yes.
Which that's the greatest sport ever invented.
Been here and there. Saw it was on. How do you not watch that?
Every time. There are two things that I will watch. One of them you will not judge me for. One of them you will. There are two things that I will watch every single time that I tune on the TV and I see it. Aside from, obviously, Tombstone, the greatest movie ever made. The others are Slippery Slopes and Marble Races. You show me Marble Racing, I'm watching it every time. I am sorry. I have ADHD. And for whatever reason, Marble Racing's my my lock-in, my stem. And then there's Slippery Steps. If you haven't seen this, it shows up whenever ESPN 8 does the Ocho, when they flip it over. Usually August 8th, 8-8, they flip over. Slippery Stairs. It's a staircase with plastic on top that they then cover in soap and water, and people try to race to get to the top. It's the most hilarious thing you're ever going to watch. It's fantastic. So I'm all in on Slippery Stairs. But for those of you that do not want full segment breakdowns of last night's Slippery Stairs competition, we have the PGA and WPGA, LPGA. We have the WNBA for another couple of weeks, and we have NASCAR. So let's talk golf and NASCAR. Keegan Bradley rallies from three shots down, able to make up all three in the final five holes of the Travelers Championship last night. Rallied from a three-shot deficit, with four to play, hit a 9-iron to 6 feet for birdie on the final hole to knock off Tommy Fleetwood, who... A choked. We just got to call it what it is, right? Like, he had a chance to win this thing, and unfortunately, he choked. Keegan Bradley now has more wins in the last year than any American not named Scottie Scheffler at this point. Number 9 in the Ryder Cup standings, a career best, number 7 in the world rankings. And the only question now after this win is, will the captain of the U.S. Ryder Cup team name Keegan Bradley to the team? He's been on fire lately. Will the U.S. Ryder Cup captain name Keegan Bradley as a player in the Ryder Cup? I don't know. Do you know who will have to ask? The U.S. Ryder Cup captain, Keegan Bradley. What a spot for that dude to be in. Dude is playing the best golf he's played in a long time. Better golf than most of the guys on the Ryder Cup team, but he's the captain of the team. They usually don't name themselves as players, normally because they're not always in their best spot. He is. We approve of him putting himself on the team, right? Like, player manager? The dude's playing the best golf of anybody not named Scottie Scheffler.
It's not like he's really bad and decide, well, I'm captain, right. I do what I want.
Yeah, no. This ain't some 65-year-old retired dude that's like, well, let me give it one more run. That's not what 65-year-olds sound like, but I had to be a jerk there for a second. Keegan, put yourself on the team. We're all good with it. And over on the NASCAR world, Chase Briscoe gets the win last night at Pocono. Holds off Denny Hamlin, who has, what, I think 4 wins at Pocono. Briscoe was able to keep the car together late, save enough gas. He pitted just one lap ahead of Hamlin. Thought they might run out of gas about a lap short, but he was able to, and this is why he deserves golf clap. For Chase Briscoe, able to preserve enough gas to give himself the last half a lap they needed, was able to knock off Denny Hamlin by about 6/10 of a second. Good race for the top 4 guys in it. Everybody else, not what I had hoped out of a great racetrack. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I have been really kind of turning over and over baseball umpiring in my head for a few years now. And anybody who's listened to this show for longer than 10 minutes is aware of that. Now, it's not coming yet to NCAA baseball.
But I hope it does soon.
The ABS. It's coming to Major League Baseball next year, and I was excited already because a ball's a ball and a strike's a strike. A ball is a ball and a strike is a strike. We've got to officiate it that way. But so many really dumb situations, like the one that happened in the first inning of the College World Series, could be prevented if we had that. If balls and strikes were called by an ABS and were challengeable, then what happened to Kevin Schnall yesterday doesn't happen. Because if he can, after a ball or a strike that he believes is incorrect, if he can challenge it, tap the helmet, tap the cap, whatever, if he can challenge it and get that call overturned and he's right about it, then he's got no reason to come out onto the field and argue balls and strikes or to be chirping the umpire from the dugout. No reason for it at all. And the fact that he did have a reason for it, which is umpires are not held to any particular standard for getting it wrong and never have been, it ultimately led to a Charmin soft, ego-driven ump who, for the second time in three seasons, has massively impacted the opportunity for success for a college baseball program that had put itself into a position to find success. This is the same umpire who tossed Cam Cannarella from the Clemson-Tennessee regional elimination game in 2023. A moment that probably, I'm not going to say definitively, because I believe, if I recall off the top of my head correctly, Clemson still would have had to come back and win another game over Tennessee. Much like Kevin Schnall getting ejected in the first inning of Coastal VLSU yesterday. I'm not saying that they would have won if it didn't happen. I'm saying they definitely could not have won because it did happen. Same situation. And it was an ego-driven move created by the fact that an umpire was not held to any sort of standard, has not been held to any sort of standard, and was doing a bad job yesterday. I want to be real clear about something. Calling balls and strikes is not easy. Baseballs move very fast. They move faster than the human eye is capable of tracking and being asked to put it into a three-dimensional plane of existence. This is why people make the argument all the time that the most difficult thing to do in all of sports is hit a baseball. It's the hardest thing to do in sports. You have a reaction time of about that much to decide if to swing, where to swing, how to swing, when to swing, and to swing. You got that much time to make that decision, which is not enough time. Yet somehow the best baseball players in the world figure it out. It's not easy to umpire, which is why I would like technology that it is easy to umpire with. This is nothing more than that. But then every now and then, you get one who goes ego-driven. You get one who takes it a step too far. And that's what happened in the game yesterday. Again, I'm not making the argument that Coastal Carolina definitely would have won if Kevin Schnall was in the dugout. What I'm saying is they would have had a better chance of it. To have the head coach, the guy that knows the team better than anybody, the guy that knows, or at least you hope, what to say, when to say it, how to say it, what triggers to pull, what levers to pull, what guys to leave in, what guys to take out, which guys to pinch hit, pinch run for, when pitchers need to be moved around or spoken to give a confidence boost, whatever. That guy's got to be in the dugout. And when you have an ego-driven umpire, which you're not going to convince me Angel wasn't yesterday, when you have an ego-driven umpire like that, it can ruin a game. Again, I go back to just a few days before that. There was a Los Angeles Dodgers game. Yoshinobu Yamamoto was on the bump, one of the aces for the Dodgers. I say one of the aces because they got like 12 of them on that team. It's infuriating. On the bump, ump Marvin Hudson is behind the dish. Yamamoto was on the verge of completing an immaculate inning. That is, striking out the opposition 1-2-3 on 9 pitches. You do it 9 pitches, the minimum number of pitches you can strike out 3 batters with. On the verge of an immaculate inning, these don't happen. And when they do, they are talked about forever, because especially if you happen to be watching one. Yoshinobu Yamamoto was on the verge of an immaculate inning. 2 strikes on Fernando Tatis Jr., a 96-mile-an-hour heater that was as close to middle-middle as it gets. Middle of the dish, middle of the strike zone, up and down. It was like maybe 3 inches above middle-middle. This was a strike as clear as the day can be. And the umpire, Marvin Hudson, just missed it. Now, I will give him credit. It became very obvious to Marvin Hudson after he missed it that he missed it. But unfortunately, we live in a world where, because of reasons, umpires will not, with like the very rare exception, umpires will not overturn their own call even after they recognize they got it wrong. I've seen it happen like 1 time in the past 2 years. There was 1 time it happened actually this year, like 2 weeks ago. I think it was a Dodgers game as well, where there was a check swing that resulted in the ball hitting the ground. I don't remember exactly the scenario. But long story short, the home plate umpire made a signal, recognized he was wrong, and overturned it. He's like, nope, that's my bad. That's a walk. And I came in the next day, and I gave that man flowers. I'm like, that's a man right there. I made a mistake. I screwed the pooch. I gut reacted. My gut was wrong. My bad. I'm getting it right. I'd be a lot less anti-baseball umpire if that was the norm and not the rarest of exception. Dude behind the plate yesterday was getting them wrong. Getting pitches wrong consistently, and Kevin Schnall went to let him know about it. If that doesn't happen, if we have an ABS, Kevin Schnall stays on the sideline, perhaps, maybe, possibly, the Beach Chickens win that game, and Rob Brown is a very happy boy, because instead of saying, welcome to peak off season, the NBA and college baseball finals are over with, Rob Brown saying, yo, LSU, Coastal Carolina, tonight, 7:30, decisive game 3. No, we don't get it. We don't get it. I'm not saying they would have won. I'm saying they would not win without him in the dugout. This is why I am excited about ABS. Because if Kevin Schnall in the dugout truly believes that Angel Campos had missed multiple calls in that game, then after every one of them, he could have tapped the helmet, gotten a 13-second review, and all of them would have been right. Or at least Coastal would have gotten the opportunity to prove that they were wrong. And instead, we don't get it. And not only do we not get it, but an umpire who had already, because he wanted to make it the blue show, ruined one team's chance at a natty. That would be yours, Clemson Tigers, from the 2023 original when he threw Cam Cannarella out. Got an opportunity to ruin another team's chance. To win a national championship. For those of you that have said, well, Rob, what about the human element? There's your human element. That's your human element. Your human element got the head coach of a national championship team tossed 28 pitches into the first inning of an elimination game in a World Series finals. There's your human element. You want to know why I despise the human element argument? There's your bleeping reason. Because the human element got a coach tossed in the biggest, most consequential game of the season. In a sport that gave us an absolutely perfect postseason. Regional Supers, the Omaha Tournament, all of it was fantastic. And it all got ruined by an ego-driven umpire who was getting it wrong and couldn't handle the criticism. It's a joke. This is why when you hit me with the human element argument, I immediately disregard it and do not care about another word you have to say because you clearly don't get it. This can't keep happening. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. No more baseball for like 13 to 15 minutes until we talk about more things going wrong for the Braves. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I want your opinion on this sound clip from LeBron James. So LeBron James there was talking about ring culture, as it has been called in the past.
This was so funny what a big deal this was made out of. And he's right. If someone else said it, then people, oh yeah, he's got a good point. But because LeBron said it, you're not listening to his words and what he's saying. So people like Charles Barkley and guys like that who never won a championship, are they not great players?
So the reason why
it's except for Dan Marino, not a great player. Because he never won a championship.
The reason why it is such a big deal about LeBron James saying it, and I'm going to start this by telling you, I'm about to defend LeBron James. So get your knickers ready to be twisted because I'm about to defend the king.
Which I just did already too, so it's not.
Well, I'm going to take it from a different direction because you're saying they're attacking him because of LeBron James, just who he is.
Because of who said it. There are a lot of things that if I say something in a certain setting, people are like, But if you say it, suddenly it has weight to it. Or if I'm trying to think of who could have said it and it wouldn't have come across the same way.
I have the answers for you here. I'm going to defend LeBron James by saying a couple of things. I'm going to start with this. First off, every word he said was correct. There is a fascination with ring culture. Now, I will say that, and I guess mild opposition to that, that the goal of team sports is to win championships. And I don't care what level you're at. I don't care if it is your elementary school field day team. I don't care if you're that. I want to win the field day championship. Shout out Miss Gherkin's third grade class at Shalimar Elementary.
Field day is more individual. Unless you're
like... our field day had team events.
Okay.
We had to carry the water in the scooper, first team to fill up the bottle. We had the relay race, the three-legged race, the sack race relay.
All right.
There's a lot of team events. It's a class thing. Miss Gherkin's third grade class, monster, son. Nobody was getting the mighty Gherkin Gators. Wasn't happening. Now, I agree with LeBron. It is also too emphasized. This belief that you can't be a great player if you don't get a ring is dumb. It would not be dumb if the NBA was a one-on-one basketball league. Because then one man would win a title. But this concept of you're not a great player if you can't win a ring is dumb. Because then you have to tell me that Karl Malone was not a great player. That Charles Barkley was not a great player. That John Stockton was not a great player. That Allen Iverson was not a great player. That Patrick Ewing was not a great player. That Steve Nash was not a great player. That Reggie Miller was not a great player. That Elgin Baylor, for you old hats, was not a great player. That Chris Paul was not a great player. That James Harden is not a great player. That's just the first 10. Those were 10 I came up with off the top of the noggin because you hear about them all the time. Now, the reason LeBron is getting attacked for this take on ring culture is because LeBron James was a Cleveland Cavalier. And then he took his talents to South Beach. Why? To go win a championship. Not one, not two, not three, not four. You know the joke. So he went to Miami. And I don't think anybody out there is going to argue that he did it to chase a ring. And then he left there and he went back to Cleveland to chase a ring. And then he left Cleveland and he went to Los Angeles to chase a ring. LeBron has been chasing rings his entire career. So I will acknowledge that it's absolutely hypocritical. It is absolutely hypocritical on its surface for LeBron James to be the guy to say this. However, America, it's your fault that he had to do that. Because here's the reality. Had LeBron James, let's say, theoretically said, I'm a lifelong Cavalier. I'm a Cleveland-born, Cleveland-bred Cavalier. I am the king. You are all witnesses. I'm staying in C-Town. And had he stayed in C-Town. And let's say, hypothetically, that the Cleveland Cavaliers never won a ring around LeBron. LeBron could have averaged 52 a game his whole career. LeBron James could have averaged 52, 12, and 10 his whole career. But if he didn't get a ring, he knows, and I know, and let's be honest with each other, America, you know, that you never would have listed him amongst the greats. He could have averaged 52, 12, and 10 his whole career. But if he never got a ring, you all would have said, he's not one of the GOATs. He's not in the conversation. He had to chase a ring because if he did not get a ring, at least one, but preferably more, had he never gotten a ring, you never would have put him in the conversation of the GOAT. And LeBron James, and I don't fault him for this because it's not wrong. LeBron James feels like LeBron James should be in the GOAT conversation. But you, America, would never let him in the GOAT conversation if he didn't stack rings. So he had to do it, or else he just had to accept. He will always be called one of the greatest of all time. And you know how I know that that's true? Because at this point, those of you that, and I'm not jumping into the MJ LeBron discussion right here. I'm just making a point utilizing the discussion right here. Those of you that are MJ stans, and I don't fault you for it. I grew up in the 90s. Those of you that are MJ stans, anytime the discussion about MJ and Braun comes up, where do you immediately run? Rings. You immediately run to rings, and you do not take into consideration the roster of great players that were with Mike. You just say rings as if it is an individual stat. It's not. It is a team stat. I don't care if it is Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, or anybody else who has ever stepped on an NBA hardwood court, no matter how good they were. Winning a ring is something that requires a good basketball team. There has never been a bad team with one star that won a championship. There's been a lot of bad teams with one star that made the playoffs, maybe even won a series or two. But there's never been a bad team with one star, no matter how generational they are, that also won an NBA Finals. It doesn't happen. There have been okay teams that have won NBA championships because of a great player. Jordan probably had one or two of those. Kobe had a couple of them. There have been some okay teams that were dragged to a title by a great player, but there's never been a bad team. So, anytime that the LeBron v. MJ discussion heats up, which is all the time, those of you that are willing to roll up the sleeves and die on the hill that Michael Jordan's the GOAT, you immediately run to the rings as the number one reason why. So LeBron knew in Cleveland, if we win titles here, it's going to be because I dragged them to a title. The first title LeBron won, who was the best player on that team that wasn't LeBron James? He had some time with Kyrie, as Kyrie was a developing player, not peak Kyrie, not final form Kyrie, developing player. The best big man that LeBron ever played with was Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Big Z.
Big Z.
He had Big Z. That's the best five he ever won a championship. Big Z.
So we're just talking Cleveland here.
Talking Cleveland. Because in order for LeBron not to be a hypocrite.
You're just going
to
discount Kevin Love, who is pretty good.
I love Kevin Love, but can we keep it a buck? Kevin Love is big TJ McConnell. Good player. Kevin Love's not a great player.
Kevin Love, one of the best long-range passers in the history of the NBA.
Good player. Not a great player.
How he and LeBron were able to hook up with those long passes, it was an amazing, amazing
thing. Good player, had a real good feature about him.
And also, someone who LeBron asked to come to Cleveland.
Because he was a good player. Good player. Not a world-class player. Great longevity to the career. Again, tall TJ McConnell. Did a lot good, nothing really great. That's the kind of guy you want around LeBron James. Much like you want a TJ McConnell alongside Tyrese Haliburton, you want a Kevin Love with the LeBron James. That's great. But the point is, the teams that LeBron was playing and winning with in Cleveland were like good teams. They were great teams. And so he recognized, and I think early in his career, I might get a ring or two here, but I'm not going to be building a dynasty in Cleveland. They are not going to build a dynasty around me, so I'm going to go somewhere they will. And he went to Miami to chase rings. Sure. Does that make him a hypocrite? I'm going to say no, it doesn't. And here's why. Because I think that you can believe that ring culture is overhyped, as I do. I think that you can believe that the narrative rings equal greatness is a bad flow of thought, and I do, and yet recognize that even if you dislike it, it is still the rule. For y'all, at least, it's the rule. So LeBron has two options. Number one, I can stay in Cleveland. I can win maybe a championship or two, maybe three, but I'm never getting to six. I'm just not in Cleveland. I played 20 years. I'm not getting to six. And if I can't get to six, I'm never going to have the opportunity to be in the discussion with Mike. I'm never going to get the opportunity to be in the discussion with Kobe, with Kareem, with the all-time legitimate GOAT bracket. I'm never going to be in that bracket. So I'm going to go get my rings. And I say that because I have made it very clear. I despise hot takes in radio. I despise them. I think it's lazy radio. I think if you can't look at sports that are happening and craft good takes, craft good opinions, you don't know ball, brother. If you have to lean on it, if all you have is hot takes, you don't know ball, brother. I believe that in my heart. But sometimes, because even though I hate it, I also understand that once again, because of you, America, hot takes work. Stephen A. Smith ain't famous if y'all don't keep clicking on him. Stephen A. Smith is a nobody if y'all stop reacting to his dumbass hot takes. But you don't, and you won't. You have made it a rule that hot takes work in my industry. And do you know what that does to somebody like me who despises hot takes, who thinks that rule sucks? You make me do it. I don't have a choice. Because if I want to stay employed, if I want to come in here and do this job every day, I have to succeed. I have to get you guys to listen. I have to get you guys to tune in. I have to get you guys to text and call and tweet and do all these things that I can then take that report to the boss and go, look, here's our engagement. And the boss has to look and go, hey, great job crafting that engagement. And y'all react to hot takes. So every now and then, and I'm pulling back the curtain, I am in defense of LeBron James. So I guess call me a cuck or whatever. In defense of LeBron James, I will pull back the curtain. once every X amount of days, I got to craft a hot take. Do you know why? Because y'all react to it. Because if I sit here and I give you good takes, if I sit here and tell you what happened on the basketball court or what the real meaning of legacy is or whatever, y'all don't react. Because I'm going to say it's because you go, that's a great take, Rob. I can't add, so I'm not going to call. Can't add, not going to text. But when I come on here and say something that's real damn dumb as a hot take, my text line blows up. The phone lines light up. My phone starts beeping because I'm getting tweets. Y'all have made in the sports broadcast industry, I'm going total heel mode right now. Y'all have made it to where hot takes rule. I can't understand why Stephen A. Smith's famous, because you keep tweeting him. End of discussion. If you stop doing that and the engagement goes away, so does his paycheck, but you keep doing it. LeBron's right. The only reason that ring culture is the main qualifier for greatness is because y'all keep saying it is, even though that's a bad thought process. And so LeBron had two options. Stay in Cleveland, don't chase rings, maybe win three or four, never get into the discussion with Mike and Kobe and Kareem and these great players. Or chase rings, win them, and be in that discussion. Sometimes you can hate the rule, but recognize that if you don't follow it, you fall behind. Sometimes you can hate the system and recognize that if I don't play within the system, I'll never get ahead of the game. LeBron recognizes that. The ring culture argument is dumb because it's a team game. But also, if he doesn't go play that game, the ring culture game, he never gets brought up in the same breath as Mike. It's not that hard. It is America. It is your fault entirely. LeBron's not a hypocrite. He just understands the situation he's in. The situation you're in is 60 seconds of pleasure from Lonzo Sports Flash.
You're welcome. With a 103-91 win over Indiana, the Oklahoma City Thunder claimed the 2025-26 NBA World Championship. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 29 in the win and claimed the finals MVP, becoming just the fourth ever player to win the scoring title, regular season MVP, and finals MVP in one season. The LSU Tigers won the College World Series Baseball Championship with a 5-3 victory, securing a two-game sweep of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, who had won 26 consecutive games entering the final. Coastal Carolina head coach Kevin Schnall was ejected in the first inning in a controversial decision for arguing balls and strikes and leaving the dugout. Chase Briscoe recorded his third career NASCAR win yesterday, holding off Denny Hamlin to take the checkered flag at Pocono. The win is the first for the number 19 Toyota of Joe Gibbs racing since 2023.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.